Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here with us. We just acknowledge, Lord, everything you have done for us, Lord. And we open our heart to you as we go to the Word, Lord, Lord, you may, Lord, help us to grasp it, to receive it, to appropriate it, Lord. And we may be able, Lord, to manifest, Lord, the things that you promised to us. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know that you are your shepherd. And if you are our shepherd, Lord, we shall not want. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So we have been talking about the importance for us not to limit God's power in our life, to allow him to be able to do everything he wants to do for us. And we can see the scripture, we can see the promises, we can see, you know, what the promises say that we should be able to receive. And sometimes people come short of actually be able to do that, to achieve what God wants to do with them. And so we have to get the stuff that is a hindrance out of the way. Okay, and we saw already quite a bit about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Psalm 78. You know, there is a lot of information there that there are things that we can do that stops actually God's operation in us. Okay. The understanding that we had to have is the fact that God, okay, is fighting for us. There is a battle going on, and in this battle, God has done everything that needed to be done to overcome. We have a part we play, okay? But he did everything that could be done, and he had a plan from the beginning, and he's implementing this plan, and he's going to overcome anyway, even if we see the world that is a mess, okay? That's just the superficial stuff. God is working, okay? And the idea, you know, is very simple. You know, so things are not complicated. You know, John 10:10 says it very clearly. The thieves come but to kill and steal and destroy. I came to give you life and give it more abundantly. Hallelujah. You know, we had to receive it, though. We had to take it. And the way we take everything from God, I mean, everything is by faith. You know, that's the way it works. Everything that we get from God, we do it by faith. But, you know, that means that we had to understand how to operate in faith. Okay? And, you know, not allow the enemy to deceive us. And he does it in many different ways. Okay? The thing is, he doesn't come. Evidently, he does things in, you know, hiding or, you know, showing himself sometime as an angel of light. And that doesn't work. But he knows very well, okay, the way he can get to us is through our flesh, is through our desire, is through the things that we get caught up in looking at the situation and the circumstances. See, that's the thing we had to learn not to do. We had to learn to function and to operate in the spirit instead of the flesh. That's what gives us the victory. That's what enables us. And really, you know, it's not any different between Old Testament and New Testament. The same things, the same principles apply. It's always the same thing. The just shall live by faith. And so we had to understand the concept of faith and how to apply it, how to manifest it in our life. Hallelujah. See, there are lots of confusion in that area, actually. You know, and you know, there's lots of ideas even in the world. You know, talking about faith is blind. No, faith is not blind. Faith can see very well What are you? You cannot have faith for something you don't see. But I don't mean see with your physical eyes. You have to see it internally. See, faith is a spiritual thing. And so has to do with the spiritual dimension. And unless we understand the spiritual dimension, we are not going to be able to get very far in applying it because we cannot have it. Okay? So, but if you are born again, you should have it. You have it. Okay? So, it's really, you know, understanding. The faith is not just believing some theological ideas or theological belief that they taught you, you know, it's not. Okay. Just saying this in this prayer, just verbally, is not what makes it happen. What it makes it happen is what's going on inside you. You're believing. Okay? You're trusting what Jesus has done. Okay? Is not an external thing. It's an internal thing. It's what makes a difference. You know, it's not a religion. It's not a conviction that you are right in your theology. What makes a difference is that you really trust what Jesus has done. That you are really dependent on that. Praise the Lord. You know, in Hebrew 11:6, it gives a really good definition, okay, about faith. You know, that by faith, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but to believe, you know, when whoever comes to Him, you know, to God, must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And this is really the basis, okay? Believing God by itself doesn't do any good. You have to be believing that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and you have to evidently seek Him diligently. Okay? That is what makes a difference. Okay? That is what produces results. You know, there is a difference, okay, between faith and presumption. Just because we think we believe something doesn't mean that we believe it, because there is unbelief in us as well that is based on the circumstances that we see. We have to understand the difference in that case. We have to understand. Sometimes you know that you believe something and you don't see the answers coming. Because it's not just faith that works. You know, faith is believing something. Unbelief is believing something. There is no difference whatsoever. The only difference is faith, that you believe the word of God. Unbelief, you believe your senses and what's going on around you. And so that is what makes the difference and what gives you, you know, and you can have the two at the same time inside you. And that's where the problem is with lots of us, that maybe haven't had the experience of see the power of God in function, in operation around us. And so, but I've seen lots of failures from the other point of view in the world. So it becomes difficult for them to actually, for you, believe and receive from God. Okay? You know, when we have faith, things happen. Period. And we at the same time, deal with all the unbelief. See, often people try to build up their faith. If they're born again, they have all the faith that they need. Because to be born again, it's the biggest miracle that can happen to you. You weren't connected with God, and then you are connected with God, and God is working in you. You're responding. There is communication, interaction. There. And we're going to talk more about that later, if we have the time. The idea is that really, you know, God has changed us from somebody that was not connected to God to somebody that is connected to God. And that connection is where really all the power that you need is going to be present. God is bigger than all the devils put together. Okay. Often we just, Christian gives by far too much, believe far too much in the devil, when instead he's defeated. Jesus made a show of him and all the principalities and power, overcoming them, even overcoming death. The thing is, they don't want to give up. Okay. But doesn't matter. They are losers, and they are going to keep losing. Amen. But you know, we have a part. See, if we believe what they say, then we give them power. The only power that they have is the power that we give them or give them. We are more powerful than they. In fact, we can cast them out. The thing is, you see, sometimes there is more than just casting them out. The person needs to be learning to how to keep them out. And that Jesus said very clearly. I'm not going to go into that today. Okay. The thing is, you know, when we have been set free, we, in those areas in which we have been set free, we are free unless we give in and let them come back. Okay? So, let me see here. In Jesus, in chapter 8 of John, verse 35 says, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. I mean, this is important for us to understand, you know, that when you have been set free, okay, if you have been free, you are free. You have to understand the freedom you have, and you have to understand. See, without the understanding, you don't know even how to keep the freedom you have. This is why people should be taught. They should have the understanding that they need to be able to stay free. Okay. But once you are free, it's because something happened in there. Okay. What happened in there? How do you get free from sin? How do you get free? How do you get victory? You get victory by repenting. Repenting of some of the things that Allah make you do the wrong thing, they make you sin. Okay. We talked about that enough, but really, it's all connected with value and we're all connected with the love of God and the relationship of this value with our values. Our values are important. How much we love God is how much we value God more than other things. And we suppose, according to the first commandment, to love Him more than anything else. See, loving God is not just a, you know, feeling. It's a decision that we had to make concerning all the other things, all the other decisions that we had to take. See, that's what those other decisions, when those other things, other values, become competing with the love of God, then we are going to be a problem when we are tempted, because we can't choose anymore. We don't know what to choose, and sometimes if we have the wrong ideas, we choose the wrong thing, and we have these things that are called idols. Idols is nothing else than values we have within ourselves that we are allowing them to take a priority with respect to our relationship with God. Are you following me? I've been talking about these things other times too, so I'm not nothing new. The idea is that once, you see, for us it's difficult to actually even know our values, because are deep inside our heart. That's where we make our decision. That's why we make our choices. That's where we function, why we choose things. Okay. And so we have to understand that when we fall from temptations that the enemy throws on us, there are different reasons, different possibilities. One of the reasons is that we are too gullible and we believe what the enemy is trying to tell you, that this is a good thing to do. Okay. Well, that doesn't take very much to fix. Okay, you realize that and you don't want to do it anymore. But when instead, you know, there is a value that you think that is actually a good thing, okay, then you are going to be tempted and you're going to fall in because you are deceived. Deception is another thing. And he's a specialist in deceiving people. Okay, well, so that's why we need to grow, we need to understand, and as we grow in understanding, we learn more and more what to do when we are tempted. Okay, and we had talked about temptation quite a bit before, so I'm not going to go too much into that. Okay, but that is really the important thing, is really there are basically three areas of temptation, the same way as Jesus did. Was tempted in three times, and it touched more or less all the different areas that we need to understand how to apply practically in our life. We talked about that too. Okay, I'm trying to condense some of the things we talked before. Yeah, okay. The thing is, you know, we all want to be confident in our position. Okay, and because of that, because of fear of losing it, then people end up making theologies that are really all wrapped up in the wrong way, that they really, you know, open them up to problem instead of, you know, they want to be convinced. And so they come up with things, you know, once saved, always saved, and stuff like that. Okay. Or similar inflection of that kind of things. Well, sorry, you know, if that is not the truth, it's not going to work and it's going to produce more damage than good. Amen? Amen. And there is plenty of evidence in the scripture, unless you are biased, that actually, you know, you had to, the word says, hold on to your confession, to your faith, to your hope. If it doesn't matter if you hold on or not, if you think that, well, once you got born again, you're born again, there's nothing, nobody can touch you, well, you are fooling yourself. You haven't seen the world around you. Okay? Because in reality, I saw many people in my life that they were keen and enthusiastic and everything else, and they end up backsliding. Now they are not even around anymore. Praise the Lord. Unless our values are right, we are susceptible. Unless our judgments, as Jesus said, my judgment as righteous judgment, because I don't do what I want to do, but I do the will of the Father, because I only do the things that I see the Father doing. See, that's the key. Okay? Our dependence on God, our dependence on the Father, our willingness to follow His their ideas and His principle rather than even what we think is the right thing to do if there is a conflict there. Praise the Lord. You know, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, okay, says, says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are also absent with the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. See, that's the idea that always, you know, the basic of everything is that we walk by faith. So unless we understand what faith is, and unless we actually function that way, we are not going to do very well. Okay. And then continues, yes, as we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. See, that is the attitude of faith that we have to have within ourselves. See, really, when we understand what is to be with the Lord, and we grasp really the full meaning of that, then what Paul said, you know, I'm confident I will please rather to be absent with the body than to be present with the Lord. Okay. That is what makes the difference in our choices. That is what reflects the value scales that we have concerning life in general. Okay. In the following verse, really expands on that. Says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. You see, that's the priority number one in our life. That's what we should be focused on. We are not pleasing ourselves, but we are pleasing him. Okay, that's what gives us power. Because when we are wanting so much that relationship with him, when we are so much, you know, in love, if you want to do in a normal, but it's not love. You know, really, I don't like the word love there because we love ice creams. We love, you know, to do things. Who cares? You know, there's the same word. There's a problem with the English here. Let's face it. Okay. And some other languages too. You know, they're not even, you know, in the same ballpark. We are talking about something completely different. This is why I prefer to use the word values, because values is really something many people don't understand clearly. And they don't know it. Well, they think they are values in a certain way, but their life doesn't show that. If your life doesn't show that, then it's not what you think. It's what you do that shows your value. You see, your walk shows what? Your heart. What your heart is, you know, you don't need to consciously do things. Most of the things you do unconsciously. And those things that you do unconsciously are actually the reflection of your heart. You know, Jesus said, out of your, you know, your mouth, the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. Well, that's true when you are not thinking about it. But lots of people go around saying this and the other things about themselves that are really completely untrue, and there are scriptures proving that too. So it's when you don't think about it, then yes, exactly, that's the time when the truth comes out. Okay, so what I'm seeing here is, okay, important to understand, okay, that our desire, our priority, and priorities are important, has to be to please God. Okay? Praise the Lord. And it says there, you know, following verse, for we must appeal before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one has received the things done in the body. May receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So you see, some people say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. God is not going to judge me. Everybody has to go before the judgment seat. Now, the thing is, when the things that you are repented, I mean, truly repented, you are not going to go, as we said before, you don't do them anymore. You are not even tempted anymore about those things. Okay. Those are covered. Those are covered from the blood. But the things you have not repented, all the time you get in there, you're going to do them again. Maybe because you don't know, maybe whatever the things is, doesn't matter. But you are sensitive, you are aware of the values in that area, and you are not going to fall down because you what? You made a decision. Love is a decision you make. you decide to love God more than anything else. And if you don't decide to love God more than anything else, you're going to be tempted and pushed around by the devil. And you are in a danger area. Now, you know, I know there's some crazy teaching around the world, and I'm going to bring one up. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm going too fast. I need to take more time here. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, what we really believe and what our values is, that goes together. We saw many times the way Jesus said, you know, my judgment are righteous. That means, you know, your judgment are righteous when you see you are the same judgment, the same value system that God has, the same value scale that God has. What's important, what's not important, what, you know, you should avoid, what you is going to be damaging you. Now, the thing is, lots of people are just very extreme. I hear people saying, you know, to God, sin is sin. Doesn't matter if you murder somebody or just, you know, have a bad thought. This is complete nonsense. God is not stupid like they are. There is a scale of things. It's not black and white, you know, it's not all or nothing. If it would be all or nothing, nobody would be saved today. Hello? Because we all have shortcomings. We are not perfect, no matter what people say. If you have a relationship with God, doesn't mean that we cannot make any mistake. If you think that you cannot make any mistake, you're wrong, because you do them every day. We have to understand that God is just and understand where you are, and it tries to reach to you no matter what. He goes after people. That's why he sent Jesus to us when we didn't even know him. To you, to me. He cares about everybody. And the fact that, you know, somebody's reading some stuff that really couldn't believe us. You know, somebody said, you know, from God, if you're born again, doesn't matter if you, you know, have adultery. If you die that day, you can, he's not going to look at that because he doesn't look at your behavior. Hello, are you insane? Oh, well, you know, so otherwise, if you can fall back, the best thing you can do for somebody that get saved is to kill them so that they're not going to be able to stay there. You know, that's retardation. That's complete retardation. He doesn't understand. This is a very well-known preacher. He doesn't understand that when you are born again, there are subtle stuff inside you that needs to be cleaned. That's what sanctification is all about. Amen. And each thing is not something that happens because, you know, you go to a prayer meeting. It's a decision you made concerning certain values that you had to overcome, and a true repentance has to take place. Just because you say, oh, I was wrong, doesn't mean, maybe, you know, you feel, you say you are wrong because they caught you. Doesn't make any difference. You have to really, you know, agree with God. You cannot fool God. You can fool your preacher. You can fool yourself even. But you cannot fool God. God knows exactly what's going on inside you, your brain and your values. And he goes not by the appearance, not what you say. He goes because he sees what? Your heart. And your heart is not your spirit. Your heart is the contact between, is part of your soul, and it's the contact that you have between the contact point between the spirit and the mind. Is where your values are located, where your decision take place. When you think something is good or not. You want to do it or not doing it because you want to please God. And nobody is perfect from that point of view. Because otherwise, you would be today like Jesus. You will get the same result that you got. He got. Are you with me yet? Okay. There is a bit of way to go yet. Would you agree? That's right. But, the point is, that's the hope. They should be, the lively hope, the way Peter say, they could be pushing us, they keep motivating us to seek more and more of God, to get a better and better relationship. See, our relationship with God is nothing else than the degree in which our values are similar to the one, the scale is similar to the one God has. And so that is establishing us the type of relationship, the type of connection, the type of unity that we have between us and God. I did quite a bit of preaching on unity and the union with God and so on. I realized there is a topic, if you do a search on the web, is one of the topics people don't like to think about it. If you, publish something, you hardly get anything. Connection. Why? Because they don't want to hear it. Because they don't understand it. Well, instead, that's the critical part between our walk. We are not in a religion. We are in walking with God. Jesus said very clearly at the last day, at the Last Supper, there are five chapters in the book of John from 13 to 17 in which he talks only about that and talks about the unity that we should experience with the Father, the unity that he had. And he said, the same unity that I have with him, you should have with me and with him and with the Holy Spirit. I'm not following my note, as usual. But these ideas are so important because they have an impact on our walk. You cannot walk by faith because faith is based on you being lined up with God's judgment. Now, let's see if you can get back into these things here. There were some scriptures that I wanted to. Jesus said something very important here that I want to just say. When the promise that he said in John 14, 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, that if you believe in me, okay, the works that I do you shall do also, and even greater work than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask, alone. Whatever you ask. Can you say whatever you ask? Whatever you ask. Hallelujah. In my name, that I will do. That, who will do that? You or him? That I will do. So he was going to do that, okay? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Praise the Lord. I mean, this is the idea. No matter how much results we get. The results we get are connected with our connection with God, with our relationship with God. The power of God working in us depending on how much we are connected with Him. So we need that unity taking place. That's why Jesus could do the things that He did. If we are not connected with Him, we are just religious. Go through the motions. And the motions don't get anything. May make you feel good because you do something, but that's not producing supernatural results. And this is what God wants to do. Sign following them that believe. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me? Yes. See, this is what God wants to us, to see in us. Okay? That's what we sang a song about. What a beautiful name. It's more than just beautiful. When we, you see, it's not a question of liking the name. It's a question of actually participating, being representatives. See, a name is in the Old Testament, you know, today is not that way anymore, but the name indicated the character, the personality of one. And the name Jesus means, you know, Jehovah saves. So, and He was the representation of the salvation that come from God. Okay, so if we use His name, what we say and what we pray is not a formula of praying. It's a position that we take to be His representative and to exercise His power. And it's not us. We are just the channel for Him to work through us. We can go around boasting about the things we do. Oh, yes, you know, we can get better and we can be more effective and everything else. But the more we are effective, the more everything else, the more the things that have to indicate is that the more He is working through you. And that's what the important thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said also later on in the following verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, obedience to His direction and things was critical for the previous verses to come to pass. If we don't obey, it's because our values are different from what He told us to do. Okay. So the thing is, you know, obedience is really what's going to bring about for us to walk in the Spirit according to the Word, not according to our ideas or some religious ideas. Okay. So what I'm going back to say again is love is not just this feeling, but it's a decision that we make to make God's principle, God's values, God's idea, you know, give a priority to them and allow them to regulate and to do our life. So obedience is nothing else than when there is that parallel between our values and God's values, and we are not really working hard to do what God wants us to do. This is the natural thing for us to do. I mean, you know, you go to a place and there is the wrong thing going on, and you are not tempted to be there because you are just turned off and you leave immediately because you don't want to mix. And it's not because you are snob, it's because you can't stand that stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, let me see here. One thing, something is not working here. Okay. There's a scripture I want to read to you. And this is the Young Literal Translation for that. Okay. It says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. Through which also you have been saved. You are being saved. Okay. In what word I proclaim good news to you, if we all passed, except we did not believe, okay, except you did not believe in vain. Let me read it again. Okay. Through which, you know, we really is talking about, there was a scripture missing here. Essentially, through the gospel, through which is the talking about the gospel, you are being saved. Okay, so it doesn't say you were saved, you say you are being saved. Okay. This is actually the original language translation without respecting the tenses and not going to according to the tenses in English. Okay, so you are being saved. In what words I proclaim the good news to you? So with the good news, okay, that God wants to save everybody and everything else, okay, you say, through those words, through the fact that God loves us and he wants to save us, you know, through those words, okay, that he's, you know, gentle and kind to us and forgive us and all the other things that he does, okay, we are being saved. If, and that's the condition, if we hold fast, so to be saved, we are being saved, is a progressive thing, if we hold fast, okay? Except if you believe in vain. So if you believe in vain, you are not going to hold fast. That's what he's saying to us, okay? That means, you know, you really didn't make a full decision, but nobody really make a complete full decision because there are things that need to be resolved that they never thought about. And this is the job of the Holy Spirit that comes to us to reveal things to come and decisions you had to make and changes you had to do so that you become cleaner, holier. Because you are addressed those things. Lord, praise the Lord. You know. That's what is explained in 1 John chapter 1. Okay, our union with Jesus, with the Father, and so that we end up walking and being cleansed continuously by him. You know, 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So, you see, that means, you know, that if we walk in the light, the things we know, the values that we have been established, okay, we walk in those things, then automatically, you know, we become better and better, stronger and stronger in the Lord. See, that's the way it should be. We should get stronger in the Lord, not slack, not loser, not losing our faith, not losing the first love. See, the first love is determined by the fact that we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't really know all the issues that we had that needed to be addressed. And so when we found out, you know, it's the same thing in marriage. You know, you get married, you don't know what you're going to get until after you got married. After a while, you know, the way you see the person changes. Why? Well, it's been there all the time, but before you were blind, you didn't even know what you were marrying. Now, if you are understanding that, you know, then you are not having to, going to not have expectations that are out of whack with reality. You know that the person is complicated and there are many things that you need to understand the other person, and you know, made a decision to love them and you keep loving them and you actually grow in that love. You don't become two enemies because you got married after a while and so people divorced. Well, they didn't understand the thing. They were going just by the feeling of the moment. They had nothing to do with the relationship with each other. was the same thing, exactly the same thing with the Lord. See, marriage is a training to understand the spiritual connection with God. God, it's our spouse. He wants to have close relationship with him. But when you get close to somebody else, you see lots of things that you don't like sometimes. I mean, this is reality. It's not living in fantasy world. Okay? So we have to understand, okay, that God wants a deep relationship with us. And that means that when there are things coming up, you don't get disappointed with God. You know, how stupid it is to get disappointed with God. It shows simply the fact that you have wrong ideas. And the problem is not with you, because God is perfect. So, you see, you have to adjust your ideas to make sure that you understand God, and God is always there in you, very well, you, even before you started. He loved you when you weren't even saved. He loves everybody the same. He's not discriminating in any way or form. Okay? You may be, if somebody is not at your level, you know, say, oh, you know this, and criticize and judging people. That's what, you know, that's another area, judging others. Oh, we are not going to go into that. For today, anyway. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me? Let me see what time it is. Never enough time. Anyway, so let me go back here. So we had to hold fast. And if you had to hold that fast, that means that you can lose. And lots of people lose the first love that they have for the Lord. We should get more and more in fire for God. You see, there is nothing better than just to grow beyond the infantile approach to God that you get when you're born again and you're all excited. You don't know what you got in. You have to instead understand that as you grow, you should mature, and your maturity should bring us a completely different relationship, deeper, more powerful, and it should manifest in you more power of God, because more of God is inside you. See, God is not there to take a ride with you, you know. He's dwelling in you, not just for the pleasure of having a trip. He's in there to guide you and to be using you to do his work. So that you may be able to give him glory, and you know, when you rub some shoulder with somebody that is like God, the only thing you can get is blessed. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, that's the thing. Idols are the things that blocks us. Anyway, so the bottom line is the battle between the enemy and God is in your soul. That's where we had to grow, and we had to overcome, and we had to go to see more and more battle, you know, in such a way that produces the result that God wants. That means overcoming temptations, overcoming our weaknesses, overcoming our understanding. Praise the Lord. Okay. Continuing in 1 John chapter 1, it says, you know, the other situation. Okay, if we say that we have no sin, you know, everybody has some of that, no matter what you believe. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, if the truth is not in us, okay, the idea is very simple. I mean, God is truth. So, those areas in your life, there is no God. And you have to, you know, what God wants to do is to clean them up. And he has made us part for that, to do that. Okay? When the Holy Spirit is inside us, that's his job. The job to do is to bring us to our attention, you know, areas in which we have to change, make different decisions. We are tempted. We are not so strong in ourselves. And so that's what he wants to do. Okay? We are not going to be deceived easily when we know exactly what things. Okay? Says, you know, what do we do? You know, when we realize that, we can, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That means, you know, but really saying confess our sin is not saying, oh, you know, I was wrong. The word there is homologeo. Homologeo means say the same thing, but not say the same thing verbally. It's saying the same thing spiritually. That means you agree with somebody if you homologeo somebody. Logos is not just the word, but it's the concept that you are dealing with. So you have to agree with the things, not just the word that you make. Oh, I was wrong. No, you know that you were wrong inside, and you don't want that anymore. Praise the Lord. And then the blood of Jesus forgives you, not only forgives you, but also cleanses you. That means, you know, you don't even have the desire anymore. That shows you got the victory, the same victory that he has. Because he doesn't, you know, until you are wavering up and down and, you know, not sure to make it, and each time, you know, that means evidently that you haven't completely won the battle. No, that doesn't mean, you know, that you feel so confident that you go around and being exposed to the wrong thing and think it's not going to have an effect. See, what you focus on in your mind, with your eyes, with your senses, has an effect on you. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They started to look at the wrong thing. They start to think about the wrong thing. See, what you look at, you give power. What you focus on, you give power. So what you focus on, you better focus on the Word of God, because that is what is spiritual. Everything that is physical is of the flesh and can produce the wrong thing. Okay? So, and continue. You know, the other part. It's interesting, okay, that the word says what he had to do. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Okay, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the glory set before, with the joy set before him, you know, he is despising the cross. You know, he overcame. He was able to win the battle. There was a major battle he overcame in his soul. And we had to learn to look into Jesus instead of looking at other things. When we see that something doesn't line up, stop looking at it. Start thinking about it. Stop not being caught up with those things, because you are still a flesh. And flesh can influence your thinking and your decisions. Praise the Lord. That's why it says, hold on. Okay? This is what makes the difference. This is a consider him who endures such a hostility from sinner against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. See, is the soul the battleground? That's what God wants to want. That's what the battle that you had to understand how to deal with it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop for now. I give talk a lot of other things, and I could continue for another 2 hours, but I will save you that. Praise the Lord. Let's close with a prayer. Then I want to share something about you know, okay. something else. Okay. No, just let's pray together for now. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Help us to understand, to receive, to appropriate, to believe your truth, and to allow your truth to overcome all the attacks of the enemy. You won, and you want us to win as well. And we will, if we go to the Word. Get your direction. Give us the understanding and the revelation so that we know what is the calling that we have in our life. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you that you made possible for us to overcome, to become overcomers, to have victory in your life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, and for, Lord, they being always there. Because, Lord, you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.